Before we go on to the next toast of Shnir Shlishis, let's again let people just coming back together, and we're still trying to get our bearings. I want you to realize what we're trying to do is now that we read the Gemara, Chiya Bar Rav says that Rav Yossi's Shita, Megalgin Lavas HaKol, which for now we means even if the Makif did the fourth wall. So the Makif went ahead and continued what he did, and now the Nikif has the benefit of four walls. Let's assume it's on the outside, okay? So he has his protection for his inner field. Now, Megalgin Lavas HaKol, now the Nikif has to pay HaKol. So Rav Huna says that means he has to pay according to whatever the layout was on the Makif's part. That's what the Nikif is responsible for. That's Rav Huna. Chiya Bar Rav says, no, we make the assessment at the Mekan and Dizol, which is less costly, and that's what the Nikav has to pay, according to Rav Yossi. Says the Gemara, now let's understand, what's the Machlokas? What does the Tanakama hold? According to Rav Huna, we can explain very well. The Tanakama is also implying that if the market goes ahead with the fourth wall, the Nikav has to pay, and then Rav Yossi says the same thing. So then what's the machokis? So Rav Huna would say, that's the machokis. What you, Rav Chiya Bar Rav, hold with Rav Yossi, I will agree, is Shitas Tanakama, and I hold with Rav Yossi that you pay Megalgin HaKol. But Chiya Bar Rav says to Gemara, what does he hold as far as the machokis? So the Gemara is going to have three approaches, and we're still focusing on number one. And hopefully by the end of Shia, we'll have gone to number two, and then we'll go, Netz Hashem, back over number three again, so everything will become more and more clear again, and there are many shitas here. So we're just going so far, Rashi, Tosis, we don't know about the Ramban and the Rush. But right now, the first approach is that, according to Chiya Bar Rav, the Tanakama will find something even less than the Mekanim. And that is what called, that would be Agar Netira, says the Gemara. That means that the Nikif will pay less than the Mekanim, not even what would be an enclosure, but what it would cost to have a Shomer, that's called Agar Netir. And Rav Yossi would say, the Mekanim Bzo. What's the Machlokas revolving around? What's the machlokes of Huna and Chiya Bar Rav? What's the machlokes Tanakama and Rav Yossi? Why does Chiya Bar Rav say the Mekanim as opposed to Kifi Mashigada? So the original way we laid out the sugya within Rashi, we were assuming the way Rashi explains the words of Chiya Bar Rav, the Mekanim Bizo, means as far as I'm concerned, that would be enough for me. The way we are Masbir Rashi, it's a way of saying, since the basis for why the Nikav has to pay, we'll start with everything. Why does the Nikav have to pay? Because the Makif went around all four sides. Why is it? The answer is, we saw from Sugya Bava Kama, because of the idea of Nene. If I provide Hanah for you, you owe me for that. Mark discusses Nene, but that's the basis of the Chiyav. But what is the Hanah? So the person's argument is, the Nikif can say, the Hanah was only, as far as I'm concerned, what I would do if I made an enclosure, not what you did for me. So that's the way we learned in Rashi. So it's a question of what is considered to be the value that you added to me, to my field. The value is defined by what I would do. That would be Chiya Bar Rav Shita of Mekanim as opposed to the amount that was laid out. That's what you gave me. You gave me what I would spend with Mekanim. When the Tanakama goes one notch below that, within the first pshat of the Gemara Chiya Bar Rav, so you only have to pay Agar Netira, so just plug into that, the same Mahalach of Rashi, because Rashi doesn't repeat it, the idea again, but what I would pay is not even for Kanan, I would pay the cost of a Shomer, and that's what I would pay, and therefore what you added, the value that you gave me, it's not what you spent, it's what that spending really means to me. So the outlay is defined by what I would provide, what I would spend for that. And therefore, what you gave me is only defined, according to Tanakama, as the Agar Netir, not even as the Mekanim. This is the Mahalach we went with in Rashi. When we went to Tosis, and then we opened up the Sugya with the Ramban and the Rush, we had another way to think about this issue. And that's what we were led by the Lashna Gemara in Bava Kama. When the Gemara attributes to Rav Yossi, who the Gemara in Bava Kama assumed, like possibly the last Yibayis Ema in our Gemara, which again we have to look at again, but that Rabbi Yossi is only Mechayev by the Nikif, who did the fourth war, not the Makif. And the Gemara wanted to know why that's true. Why is he Pater if the Makif does it? Does that not prove that Lenev Zelo Chaser is Pater? And the Gemara says, no, it doesn't prove it. Because the reason why Rabbi Yossi would hold, again, that assumption, that when it's the Makif who does the fourth war, you're Pater, is because he can say, L'didi Sagili Benetir Barzuza. What does that mean? So we were led through the lens of the Rosh Bayas and Rekiva Eger, who sent us to the Sugyan from Mithia Kuf Aleph, which is Yored. We were led to realize that there's another argument here that the Nikif can find to fend off the claim of the Makif. And that's different than what we're just saying now, the music that we came out of Rashi, that we Midaik and Rashi, that the value was only this and not that. The value, the Hana, you could say, was what you laid out. But there is a schus for any person that another person went and imposed on them a Hana. We call that Yored Mustich Avero. When it touched a little bit of schus, and suddenly I have trees in my field. I didn't ask for them. I didn't ask you to come in. So there is possibly, and this is a machokas, we've shown them whether in fact there is such a schus. So we're going to go now with those who hold that there is such a taina. The Gemara doesn't say it in terms of the Baal HaSadah. The Gemara talks about it in terms of the Yored himself taking out his netios and whether he can do it or not. But the Rishonim bring in, the Rif there in Bamitzia, the Rush, that, and the Ramban, of course, here in Machamos and Mechidushin, there's a schus for the person whose field it is to say, take it away. I don't want it. You can't impose a chiyuv on me to pay for the hana that you gratuitously gave me. I didn't ask for it. I don't need it. I'm not nichali. To protest. That's what it means, l'didi sagli v'netir bazuza. So whatever is nichali, I pay for. What's nichali? Netir bazuza. Anything above that, forget it. Kick it away. I don't want it. Does that mean there was no hana? You gave me something. But if I'm not nichali, then I don't have to pay for it. That now becomes a new way to look at our sugya. So, for example, this opens up our sugya in a whole different way. How so? So let's present, we went over from yesterday, the Ramban, the Rush, and then let's go to Tosfos, and see now how to understand what's happening here, Chiya Barav versus Rav Huna, and within Chiya Barav, the Tanakama versus Rav Yosef. So far, we're only holding the first Nafgamina, whether you pay Agar Netira or you pay the Beikanim. The Makiv did all four. He provided Hana, and yet Chiya Barav says, you only pay the Beikanim. The Hana was seemingly Hana of a Gidur of Avanim, the Kodesh of Avanim. Funa says, you pay Kifi Mashigada. Why does Chiya Barav say you pay less? Now we're not thinking the way that the Hana was less. The Hana was Havana. The answer is that you don't. To the extent that there's Havanim, is that called that you have any chusa on Havanim? Is that called that he's pleased with Havanim? Or is it equivalent of having protested? Or did he protest? What does that mean? You see, let's go with the Ramban first and see how the Rush is a shade different than the Ramban. Kibbe Eger's point that there's an achokas here, which he tells some. For the Ramban, what's the machlokas Rav Huna and Chiya Barav? And then we'll go back to Chiya Barav himself within Tanakam Rav Yosef. What's the machlokas? Says Ramban as follows. When does the person who's been provided Hana have the right to say, thank you, but no thank you? I'm not paying for it. I don't want it. If the situation doesn't, by definition, have a default assumption that he'd be pleased. We call that a sadeh sheh ein asiyalita. If it's a stama, a sadeh hasiyalita, then you pay for that not, because we presume that you're pleased with it. The question, therefore, when does he have a schus to say, toli, sacha, ba, banacha, only such in that shita saramba. The Rashi is going to argue in terms of when he can say Tol Eid Sechem Abin Abban. This is only a Sedesh in a Seyulita. Therefore, he comes to our sugya, and he says like this. If we would view this Sada as fit for a Gidur, for an enclosure of Avanin, were we to view it as such, then what this person provided, the market provided, is exactly what the doctor ordered. And therefore, if you say outright Amocha, okay, then obviously you don't have any, it's not that way. You don't want it. Could be that because here it's going to be somewhat subjective. But if you didn't hear about it, and he provided this benefit, and by default, that's what it is. The default can be changed if he says, I don't want it. By sada seyolita, he can't necessarily say it. But in our situation, it's going to be defined by whether you speak or not. If you speak your mind, okay, then you're not nichale. But if you don't say anything, so Rav Huna says, of course you pick from Hashagada. That's what this field is designed for. What's Chibur Rav hold? Stam Saga, it's only designed for Gidur of something. Kanim. Enclosure of Kanim is that's the extent. So therefore, what you have here in terms of what he's Nichale, what is he presumed to be okay with? It's only Kanim. That's the Machokis Chibur Rav and Rav Huna according to the Ramban. Now let's take Chibur Rav within the Mishnah and plug that in. So what does Rav Yossi hold? Rav Yossi holds that what you have by default is the person is pleased with what? With what the Sada is meant to have, which is Mecha, Panabizol. What does Tanakama hold? No, the Sada is only designed for some security system, be it a showman. So whatever it is that you can read into the situation that is presumed he's agreeable with, that's what he has to pay. That's machokis. So you have, it could be a garnitira, Tanakamas would hold according to Chibur Rav, it could be mekanizol, Rav Yossi holds, it could be Hashagada, according to Rav Huna. But everything revolves around that question. What's the Asuyalita equivalent over here? This is the Ramban. Where does the Rush differ from the Ramban? So it's interesting. The Rush says, and the here is Medayik, that if the person you need is not just a default assumption. What you need is that what did the Bailim, how do you know this guy, the Nikif, is pleased? How do you know? You can assume it, or because you can glean it from something. What does the Rush say? How do you know that he's pleased? Because he saw and he was quiet. It's not, for the Ramban, a macha would work, but a non-macha, but a non-awareness would also be the same thing as seeing and saying nothing. You don't need to glean from his silence. You can just assume that, and that's because the Ramban holds once you get to the status of a suyalita, then you lose. You can't claim anything against the Malkif. He did it, he provided it, he had a right to provide it. If you're mocha in the beginning, fine. But once you say nothing, the presumption is itself enough to force you to pay. This is the Ramban. Because Ramban Lishitaso holds that a sada, hasuyalita, there is no schus to say toit sachavavanecha. And therefore, if you knew you didn't know about it, it's presumed that you're okay. So you have to pay. If you're mocha, that's different. Then it becomes a tazse in a seyulita because you're mocha. The Rush Lishitaso, he holds that there's a schus for the Baal HaSada to say, Tul Eid Secha Vavanecha, even on a Sada Suyalita, because what's he going to say? Yeah. Generally, people plant trees here. But you know what? I march to my own drummer. I would use this field for stelava. I would use grain. I wouldn't use fields. So therefore, the fact that it's a seyulita doesn't take away my privilege to still push back and say, you can't impose this hana on me. So this is why the Rush holds that over here, what you need in order to force the nikif to pay is something else. You need to extract some indication that he is in fact agreeable. The fact that bistama, it might be used for gidur of avanim or for dmekanim. The Rush speaks about Rav Huna, but what he's going to say in Rav Huna is going to be just as relevant, obviously, for Chiya Barav. So what did the Rush say? This that Rav Huna holds, that the Nikov has to pay according to the outlay of the Makif. It's only when he saw and he was silent, because otherwise, if he would not have seen it and been silent, he retains the schus to say, thank you, but no thank you. For the Rush, if he didn't know about it, it came later, he could do it later as well. Right? But if he knew about it, and he said nothing, then that's called he's agreeable. Now, who would argue? That's Rabbi Yossi in the Gemara Bava Kama, who allows you to do it even later on, even if he saw. That was Rabbi Yonah's deal. Yossi says it afterwards too. He doesn't see that Rav Shasak as meaning anything. But we don't. So enough from there. He could say with the Disag Bintir Barzuza even later. But we don't go that far. We don't assume that way. We assume Rav Shasak, you relinquish your schus to say I protest. But essentially, when the Rush says what is his macha, if he would say with the Disag Bintir Barzuza, what is that equivalent to? I don't need your benefit. Not that it isn't benefit. What is it? It's saying thank you, but no thank you. I don't want it. You can't impose the obligation, the payment on me for this hana. I don't want it. So, but how does he explain it? Because he still has to pay Tira Bazuza, because that much, if he says up front, I don't need it, but what do you mean, why not? You're fooling yourself. Of course you need it. No, I can manage with the shomer. Okay, you pay for the shomer. But more than that, even though he provided you more than that, he provided you a fence. And a fence of stone at that. No. You pay, I guarantee you, and that's all. But if you said nothing, so your silence speaks to the fact that you've agreed. If you agree, then Rav Huna says you pay to what you agreed to. What did you agree to? To the fence of Avon. Now ask yourself now. The Rush spoke within Rav Huna. Let's plug in the Rush's Shita within Chiya Barav, the same way we did for the Ramban. What's the Machokas now? What does Chiya Barav hold? You have to pay the Mekanim. Why not Kifi Mashigada? He was silent, right? He said nothing. That means he's agreeable. What is he agreeable to? What did the Makiv give him? Stones. So what do you have to say Pshat in the Rush? So why does Chiya Barav say only say the Mekanim? Just think for a second. What's the machok is going to revolve around?
He agrees to a fence.
Exactly. All I see from his silence is he agreed to a fence. You can't pull out of that silence more than agreeing to a fence of kan. Kan of zo. This is the Rush. For the Ramban, it's simpler. For the Ramban, it's you don't need him to be silent and glean his agreeing from that. You just have to define the sada as a sada that's designed for X or Y, and then that precludes his ability to be mocha, unless he says up front and it's not defined as such. But if he's not saying anything because he doesn't know, then by default he's agreeing because that's the assumption that's given. So is it presumed to be designed for Avanim? Is it presumed to be the Mekanim, or is it designed for only Agar Natira? That's the Machokas for the Ramban. The Rush goes a step further, because the Rush allows the person to say, thank you, but no thank you, tuli tzacha babanacha, even by Sadrasi Alita. So what the Rush needs to do is to get him to see in what his silence and agreeing, whatever he agrees to, denies him the claim to say, thank you, but no thank you, because you agreed. What did you agree to? So, according to Rav Huna, your silence is tantamount to agreeing to the very type of fence that was made that you benefited from. Therefore, I have the hana, and I agree to the hana. What hana do I agree to? I agree to the hana that was given to me, to that fence of stone. Chiya Barav will say, no, my silence only means I agreed to a fence of kan. Even though you provided me more than that. But that you didn't get my agreement to that. You only got my agreement to kind of. Now let's go to Chiya bar Rav within Tanakhama, the first explanation of the Gemara. So what does the Tanakhama hold? That you only pay agar netira. So let will be the pshat according to the Rush. So just take it a step further. What do you see in his silence? Only that he agrees to having the security of some kind. The fact that you provide it in the form of a fence and a vanim at that, but all you can get out of my silence is that I'm agreeing to having the benefit of having the equivalent of having a shomer. There's no other way around this, because according to the Rush, it's based on his silence. So you have to read in, and that's what the sugya is revolving around. So the question is only, how much can I pull out of this shasak, raw of his shasak? How much agreement can I pull out of his silence? To therefore, because to the extent that he's agreed to something, to that extent he's lost his ability to say thank you, but no thank you. Whatever is agreed to, I have to pay for. That's the sugya, according to the Rush. Where did Tosus fit into this? So Tosus puts in to Chiya bar Rav. Tosus comes with a question. He doesn't say the word tol at all, as if he's ignoring that at all completely. And he asks the kasha. To make kind of this, oh, a case of yored shelo bersus entitles the person who gives that benefit, who plants the trees, to get, at the very least, if the shvach is higher than the expenses, he'll get the expenses. And here, all you're paying is to make kanim bezol, and not the expenses. Why not? Why is it worse than yored shelo bersus, where he gets at least the hotzos, if the shvach is more, if the shvach is less, he'll get the shvach, but either way, more than to make kanim. Presumably. I mean, it sounds like Mekanim is always what he gets. And even if the Yitzios are less than the Shvach, which is obviously more than the Mekanim, because Yitzios are Ravanim, after all. Don't forget, he gave him a lot. He gave him a new kitchen, right? Right? And you say, I make do with just a haphazard little thing. No, so why are you paying the Mekanim? Why not pay at least the Hotzos, less than, if it's not the Shvach, it's the Hotzos. If it's the Shvach, it's less than Tosus. It's still more than the Mekanim. That's Tosus Kash. Tosus does not say the word Tol. Achronim wonder, like, what's Tosus asking? But don't we know that there's Pshitas and Rishonim that say that the person is supposed to say Tol? Tosus doesn't say the word Tol. So Tosus Kihu is ignoring that whole possibility, which is what's interesting, because ultimately we put that back into Tosus' Teretz, but we were mistopping whether Tosus means it even by Sada or maybe only over here. This is something we'd emphasize as much yesterday, maybe now a little bit more. Tosus Kash is clear. Now, what was Tosus' assumption in Rav Huna? He's asking Kash and Chiya bar Rav. What's Tosus' assumption in Rav Huna? So I think it's obvious. What is Tosus thinking in Rav Huna? Why does he pay to make the Kfi Mashigada? Silita. But Chiya bar Rav, grant you, it's in a Silita. But in Silita still entitles the Yored to something more than to make Kanan. The Hotzos of Avanim, or the Shvach of the Avanim, which probably in both cases, Hotzos is for sure more than the Mekanim, Hotzos of Avanim. The Shvach probably as well. So, Maishna, Misadish Ena Seulita, Dimnata Chaber Shlo Beshus, Omer Rav Ushmuel, Shaman Yadu Atachtona. But Tosus doesn't mention the word Tol. Tosus comes with the Teretz. And this is Al Derech, what we saw the Rosh, but maybe with a little Shinu. Maybe more than a little shina, but still the basic derech. Tosus says like this. His answer is he has a schus to say with the sagib tir bazuza. What that is comparable to is what? Is a person saying, the Baal HaSad is saying, thank you, but no thank you. I don't need this then. Why did Tosus say tir bazuza? Why couldn't he say di sagib the kanan? Because once you concede that you're happy with, once you concede, you have to say, I don't need this. I don't need an akosha. Oh, so then the question becomes, so what if he paid me kind of his own? So the Rusk would say, so the Tosus point is, it's like the time of Tol, basically. I don't need it. I can manage with Kir Bezuzah. Why does he pay me kind of his own? So the Rush, Lishitasso, the Rush learns that within his silence, you can glean that he agrees to some type of a actual enclosure. How much? Kan, even though the person gave avanim, you can glean that he'd be agreeing with kan. Tosfos says something different. Tosfos says that the agreeing is an anansa hadi. Anansa means we know what he'd agreed to. Who in the world wouldn't, if he can get better than a shomer, can get kind of bizol, who wouldn't pay for that? What everyone knows you pay for, that's tantamount to an agreeing. Whatever you would agree to, because anansa hadi, you have to pay for it. So Tosfos goes with anansa hadi. The Rush doesn't say an Ansahadi word, so the Rush would have to be interpreted, the Rush would hold, that what you wish, your shtika is viewed as an agreeing to a fence, but not necessarily the fence of stone, but the fence of kan of bezol. That's what your silence would agree to. But Tosus, no. It's not that your silence gives us that, but the Ansahadi gives it to us. Whatever we can extract, and we know whether from your silence or from everybody's mindset, who wouldn't pay for an enclosure of cannabisol? Of course you would. Okay, so then you have to pay. Whatever you would fish, if you make a kitchen bare bones, you have to pay for bare bones kitchen, the mashal we gave yesterday. Whatever you would, the person gave you mamish, the perfect tiles and everything else, but you would do whatever. Whatever you would do, everyone would get such a mitzvah, they would give that much of a then you have to give the person who was yored and give you a Gavadiga kitchen, whatever you'd be, that would be your requirement. That's the Anan Sahadi Atosis is giving. So Mekanim you would pay. This is Chiyabarav. Now let's go to the first answer of the Gemara within Tanakama. So what's the Tanakama hold? Rabbi Yossi says Mekanim. What's Tanakama hold? Agonutira. So what does that mean? Apparently, what doesn't he agree with? According to Tosis. The Nansadi, I'm not impressed. It's not just a Nansadi. Who says? That's where the chips are falling, basically. I think that's just to clarify from yesterday, that's where we are with Tosfos. The only question I'm going to present, and I don't know for sure the answer, but the strange thing is, Tosfos did not say the magic words, Tolei Tzach Avanach. Tosfos uses the words, Udi Sagim Tir Bazuzu. Now, neither did the Rush. Over here. But what Rav Shvega did for us is he tells us that the Rush here is the Rush in Bamitsia Kefalev. That holds, you could always say tall even by Asuyalita. Okay. But there is a shinui between the Rush saying it over there and Tosa saying it over here. What's the interesting difference? When the Rush says that you could tell the person, even by a field that's designed for trees, I don't need you to... Thank you, but no thank you, get rid of them. What is his explanation? What do you mean you don't want it? Of course you want it. Everyone wants it. What does he say? No, what would I do with the field? I would plant tefuah. Okay, but tefuah is not the same benefit as trees. Trees are a benefit called trees. Trees are great. But tefuah is not. So it's your personal thing. I would do a different thing. Not everyone holds you can say tall in a case like that. But I said trees are a benefit that cannot be achieved except through what he did. So maybe there is no such time of Tosfos. Maybe Tosfos doesn't disagree in that case. But maybe Tosfos holds that there is some application of that principle in our case. Because here the time is stronger. Here, you're not saying, I would do something else with my money. I would get the same benefit, or for me, that benefit in a different way. So it could be the time here is stronger than what the Rush has over there. The Rush is saying, I would plant something else. I wouldn't plant trees. I would just use it for tefuah. No, maybe not. Maybe you can't such a thing. Umayisa, you have to pay him for trees. He gave you trees, and it's designed for trees. And therefore, you can say, I'm not interested. You have to pay for the hana that he gave you. But over here, it's better. Here it's saying, you gave me security. You laid out for a fence. I could do it with a showman. Okay, that's maybe a question. Maybe Tosfos didn't mean that he has to always hold of toll in the case of Yored, but at least in this application of Yored, that would be the taina. Again, a lot of what we're saying is, you look in the Rishonim, we'll get to the Ramban and Melchamos, but the Ramban and Chidushim says, Dami li Yored. This is all from the Rishonim we're saying. We're not inventing it. Tosfos brought in Yored, but the Rishonim already are discussing the sugya from the frame of reference of Yored. Now, with this in mind, let's Prod on. What's the expression? To whatever you want to use. Muddle through is not the right way to say it. Okay? It's definitely something more refined than that. Okay? The next answer to the Gemara. The next Dibur Yisema. Again, go to the Rashi, go to the Tosis, and we'll see what from there. Again, where are we holding? Chia Barav Shita for Rav Yossi is Dmei Kanan. Again, we're going to have to revisit the Goyidaita issue that we begin going through. We're going to get back to that also. But for now, the second Ibai Seima. So, Chia Barav says, Rav Yossi's Hakol is Dmei Kanan. So, B'mai Pligi Tanakama of Rav Yossi. If you're not paying Dmei Kanan, what are you paying? So, the first answer was? Agarnatira. Second answer, Ibai Seima, Rishona Shnia Shlishis Ikebenai. Nafkamina Tanakam Rav Yossi is how much you pay. In other words, do you have to pay for the first three walls? Tanakama Saber Viasu Diyavle. You only pay for the fourth wall. Avushona Shishis Lo Yavle. But you don't have to pay for the first three, only for the fourth. That's the Hanah that you owe him money for the fourth wall. Rav Yossi, the Gaon of Zakol, if the Makif goes and builds wall number four, then you have to pay for all four walls. What's this machlokes about? Do you have to pay for the first three walls as well, or only for the fourth wall? Zoktosis. Shnia ushlishis lo, omeri. By the way, I gave you the Rambam simply because I want to just get a little familiar with Yoreid, just to kind of see a little bit, you know, how the Rambam lays out the halachas. I don't have anything, there's a lot in the Medayik, of course, but just to feel comfortable with these ideas of Yoreid. So he summarizes the halachas of Yoreid, the question how he holds about this machokes Ramban and the Rush, but that's why I gave that to you in the brackets. But let's go back to our sugya. So Tosus comments, Omari, the Hainu Taima, the Inucha Adam, Shuay Misayel Urvias, Almanas, Shehigodim Idal Buchosef. Okay. What is the Reed coming to explain? You see clearly from his Hainu Taima. What is he coming to explain? What did he not even bother explaining? I mean, the Dibur HaMaskil is misleading here. The Dibur HaMaskil is you don't pay for Rishona, if we say Rishona is what, Shnei Shlishis. You only pay for the Revias. For Tosis is already working from the assumption of we understand why you're not paying for the first three, but what Tosis has to try to figure out is why he's paying for the fourth. The Tanakama holds you only pay for the fourth. So before we explain what Tosis, the Ri is saying, and why he pays for the fourth, let's step back a second. And why don't you pay for the first three? Because after all, the Rav Yossi is Machayiv for all four. Tanakama says, no, you don't pay for the first three. So what was Tosis thinking that now he has to now, after that, he says, and now what about the fourth? Why is the fourth different? So he says, a Svara, because it's again, the equivalent of an Anan Saadi, we know there's nobody in the world who wouldn't want to pay for a fourth wall if once you pay for one wall, it's going to give you the benefit of four walls. So the fourth wall, you have an agreement. Okay, so what's the reason why you don't pay for the first three? Let's go backwards. What's the inference in Tosis? Tosis didn't spell it out. So the way we imagine the previous Tosis, it should be clear to everybody. What's the pshat? Why not for the first three? No. Why not for the first three? No. Yes, Noach and Yaakov, go, and Ari, whatever order, yeah?
I guess you could say that he didn't know he wanted to pay Mr. Barzuzo.
Good. Yaakov, same. Yes?
Can we make a statement from Joseph that the reason you don't pay for the first three is because the implicit contract that obligates you to court is present for the first three walls?
Yeah, and why not? That's the point, because your preference, you have not agreed to that. The point is, Yoreid is basically what Tosis worked with in the previous Tosis. What I'm not agreeing to, I don't have to pay. I never consented. I don't need it. This is what the Masha points out. The Masha right here. Right? Omeri dahinu taima. Hai taima de niftar ashniyo shlishis psikaluhu. That which you putter on the earlier walls, Tosis knew definitively. And what's the reason for that? Kidikamar Hasan Parakates at a regal. He quotes it from the Gemara Bava Kama. Again, this is not a svar that we invented or Tosis invented before. Where does that svar appear in Shas, Rabbi Yosef? In Daf Chaf in Bava Kama. The Gemara says it within Rabbi Yossi, Amad Makir Pata. But meanwhile, we're talking here the fourth Yorchai. But meanwhile, why Pata for the first three? Simple. That's the svar the Gemara brought out. With the Sagam Tir Bazuza. Ella the imkain the patanami arvia. So what Tosus is now bothered by is, okay, so why does the Tanakhama say you are chayiv in the fourth one? The same svara of Rebbe Segman de Tira Azusa should work to pat you from the fourth as well. I don't need it. What's the difference? I don't need a wool. I can use a shomer. That's the time. And the kasvut time a chiyuv ad reviyist in cha'adam. Okay, gavne kasvut kaman, okay? That's coming up in the Tosus on the next Amud. But Rashi is going to have a different shot on why a putter on the first three, and that's who's going to jump on and say with the Haggah, then you should be putter in the fourth as well, Kemat as well, for most in the fourth. So that's where Rashi comes in here. So for Tosus, the picture is clear. Why you putter in the first three? Because of the svaras that we said before. Now, what obviously does Tosus not accept? In other words, at this point, what are we not holding by that we mentioned before? What did Tosus say before? That there's an Anan Sahadi. Right? That you would have paid for kind of result. No. Are we accepting that now? We're not accepting that. Before we said that that's the machokas between the Tanakam, the previous. What's the relation between this Iboy Yisem and the previous one? Where were we before? Before we were assuming that Tanakama would have you pay for the first three as well, Netira Bar Zuza, and Rabbi Yossi would have you pay the Mekan. Now we're saying that what? That the Tanakama says you're potter for the first three, but you pay for the fourth. And Rabbi Yossi says you pay for everything. So why you putter for the first three? Same svara as before. Because I don't want it. I don't need it. I don't want it. I didn't ask for it. For me, it's enough to have mekan the agana tira bazuza. Why do you pay for the fourth? Says the re, because if you have a fourth coming not in a vacuum, but when you have three already, and paying for a fourth would give you a gither on all four sides, then everybody would agree to that. So the fourth, we know that you're agreeing to, because that much you would do for yourself too. Okay, so that's why you pay for the fourth. What does Rabbi Yossi hold? What does Rabbi Yossi hold? You pay for all three. Why do you pay for the three? What did we say before? Why do you pay for all three? An ansahadi, that imhaya motzim mitzvah. You go to, what we had before. So it's not much of a difference. I mean, the point being is only that now we're bringing in that the Tanakhama will concede the fourth because of this, as you say, a pusik contract, this anansahadi il cha'adam. This is Tosus. Now, there are other pshatim. And the first Tosus addresses Rashi. Ubikutris piresh. Rashi explains a different thing of why the first three are putter. Now remember, Rashi is a whole different mahalach in the sugya. Rashi brings an inyan v'fisha kfar yotza min ashlosha mi based in zaka. The first three were made, and there would be he's exonerated from having to pay for those three because they did not provide him with any security. It's totally open. And once you're off the hook from the first three, then you're not going to have to revisit that and have to pay for the first three when the fourth one is made afterwards. That's Rashi. What do we call that? What do Rishon refer to that as? Two words, kamdina. The sugya in Amazayin and Yavamas. Rashi didn't use those words, but the Rishonim did within Rashi. Hagah, uksas kasha. The imken gamber vias yatsa zakai at tefach acharon. Adkan Hagah. He says, why? He's asking this. Torrent tells Om Shabi, understand why the Revius is different. The Revius, you have an implicit contract you'd agreed to. But according to Rashi, the Svara that Rashi is giving should apply as well to the Revius until you get to the end, because until you have that last Tefach sealed, it hasn't done anything for you. So say, come din on that, so to speak. Yotze Zakai. No, what's the solution for Rashi? No, Chora, one can answer this very simply. What's the simple answer? So there's two answers. I think that's one. But let's do first the Rashash. Your answer is good also. I think that Rashi is answering it too. The Rashash assumes, what's the Rashi in Yatza Zakai Bebezdin? Yatza Zakai Bebezdin. So, really, who says that you went to Bezdin? In the middle, no, the fourth was done. There was no Bezdin that you went to. That's the Rashash says. Let's see inside the Rashash.
Could you have gone against the
Jews? Well, could you have? What would Beis Din say?
It's still a fourth one.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. Yeah. Shash says, the Yatzah B'Zakah B'Beis Din, B'Yavah Mitzvah Mitzayin Yesh Puk the Damarai B'Kihai Gavna, that's the Kamdina Hartadina Inyan, the Dafka Beis Din Kama, right? Salom Shekfar HaYadin B'Neim U'Beis Din Patru K'Dahasa. If you look in Kamdina Hartadina Yavamis, what was the Maisa there? The Meiri here brings it out. If you look in the Meiri, you see it, that there was a psak first of Yachloku between the Yavam and the Safik the Yavam B'Nichse Misna. So we don't know whether he is the son of the Mais or the son of the Yavam. So therefore they split that. Then later the Yavam dies, and then his sons, one of the Yecholakis, the Yerusha, together with the Safik, who now comes with the opposite claim that I'm the son of the Yavam. And he feels that that's to his benefit. He's gladly give up what he got before because he's going to get a bigger piece of the pie right now from the Yavam's Yerusha. So now they tell him, sorry, you can't prove first that you're a son and you're our brother, otherwise you get nothing. But he says, okay, but if you're going to assume that, then I have to get the other half from the original Yerusha, because then if you're telling me I'm not your brother, then that means he should have never gotten, your father should have gotten from the mace. No. Kamdina says, that was Gepaskind already, therefore he's not going to be able to go back and take the extra half for now, and that's called Kamdina. There's a psak. That was a psak. So the Rashash assumes over here as well, you have to have a psak after three walls, putter, because he still has the other side that's open. Now he doesn't have to pay subsequently when the fourth one is closed. If that's the case, Tosis kasha nagah is not a kasha. L'chein mashik shabagah lo kasha midi. Because what's Tosis saying? Tefach acharon. There's no Beis Din that's paskining in the middle of the fourth wall. That's one way to think about it. Yaakov said also very good. Chora, even without that, even if Rashi didn't talk about a formal Beis Din's paskining, there's still a very big difference between the three walls and the fourth as follows. Because Rashi explains, he adds a few words. He says, the scenario is the three walls were built and then it was a big gap of time. This time lag is the equivalent, even if there wasn't a formal psak, but you could say, you could if you wanted, because that layout is not doing anything for you. So you're off the hook now. You don't have to pay for those three walls. Now what happens? If Beis Din would step in right now, whether they did or not is not necessarily a point. If they would, they would say, look, what we see right now is you have no reason to pay. You're not enough. He didn't give you enough. You have no enough to pay for. The whole fourth side is open. Tosis asks, what about the fourth wall until you get to the Aztefach? You'd come to Beis Din at that point. There was no lag time. Would Beis Din say you're putter? Beis Din say, let's wait and see. I mean, he's a process. It's not a definitive psaka putter. It's in the middle. If he'll finish the last tefach, he'll have to pay. So even if the hypothetical Beis Din would step in on the fourth wall before the last tefach, it wouldn't be a clear-cut psaka putter. Because the last wall is being done with, systematically, continuously, without a gap, without a stop in time. So I think that's another way to think about Tosis, Kash, and Rashi. Rashi would hold it's not a very big difference. The three walls, suddenly everything stopped. It grinded to a halt. So that's Karpatru Beis Din, that's Kamdina. The fourth wall, which was done, so Elamai, you're going to freeze the frame in the middle? That's not cool. Kamdina, that's not going to be a psak of Beis Din. They're not going to say a putter. They're going to say, let's wait and see if he finishes it or not. Whereas the third wall, it's already been a year. He hasn't finished it. Okay, we can step in and say a putter. But just to chazer over within Rashi, just another nekuda, l'chaira, Kamdina is the idea that the psak is finished, right? And now you want to look at that issue again in a new light. Over here, seemingly, there was no benefit from the three walls. So what happened now is a new issue, a new claim. The claim is, now I give you Hana. So why does that relate back to what was Pater before? Before there was no Hana, now we have a new issue, new Din Torah, new discussion. I gave you Hana, I did a fourth wall. Why would being Pater, why would you say, come Dina, that I don't have to pay now because the three walls didn't make me pay? Three walls just means I didn't get Hana, now I have Hana. So why would we relate back to not having to pay for the three walls in light of the fourth wall being built? The fourth wall now is a cause for a chiv. Now I gave you Hana. What's the answer? What did I give you? What are you paying for? For the Hana or for the enclosure? I spent money for you. You have to pay back the money I spend for you. The cause, the claim is already here, but it's not complete. The claim is the money I'm paying for the three walls, that's money that is on your behalf as well. I'm laying that money out for you. And the psak is, you don't have to reimburse for that cost. The taina, the claim is not the hana, that's incidental. We gave a mussel, like if someone just happens to be Mishas HaRabim and gets benefit from somebody's overhang, that's not a cause for a claim, that's memela. The claim of Hana is I laid out money for you. I gave you enclosure. That is money that is invested for you as well. Reimburse me for that. So that's the issue here. You're putter to pay for that money that was expended for you. Now the fourth wall is filled. Now you don't have to come back and have to pay to reimburse those expenses. That's why you can discuss this from Kamdina perspective. Because the idea of Hana is I gave you money. The money I spent is not just for me, it's for you as well. So you have to give me back that which I gave you. It's not the Hana that comes after the fact. It's the actual outlay. That's what allows for my claim to come in and say, give me back that money I invested on your behalf has to come back to me because you got benefit from that. The money was laid out for you. So that's what Rashi could speak about this issue in terms of, well, I already became potter from having to reimburse for the three walls. So this is the other shita. This is Rashi. Okay, so we'll look maybe at the very, not today, but for, I guess, next year. The Ramban has a line at the end. There's a few different parts of the Ramban in the Mochamos. So if you look further on in Marmokomos, you'll see, the Ramban, Uchad Lishna, look at those words of the Ramban at the end, the very end of the Mochamos. That's Binogea, this issue of Kamdina. Maybe the Balamor as well. And then we'll try to finish the other two Tosfos in, and then go back to more about the Balamor and the Ramban, also the next piece of Gemara. But hopefully, I hope, things will become a little more clarified and a very different.